1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is the message I planned to preach, was excited about. I put it on the shelf and grabbed an old chapel message to preach to the 25 people that I thought would be here. Amen. But you're here, and so I'm going to preach it. It's probably a good morning to preach this message today. And I want to talk to you a little bit about something that's coming up here. And it'll fit right in with the message today. This is our church crowd. I'm so glad that you're here. Thank you so much for coming. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good word. And beginning with verse 51, in 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to read through verse 54. So there's 1 Corinthians 15, and then we'll read responsively. I'll read the odd verses, if you'd please join me on the even-numbered verses. And our Bible says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." The title of the message is, we'll get to it. The title of the message is "Now About Today's Offering." Now About Today's Offering. And we'll get to it. You'll see how it comes together. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you so much for the privilege to preach your word. I pray that you'll use your word in our hearts this morning. Lord, these folks came because I believe they love you, in honor of your day and your word. And I pray that your spirit will come in great, great freedom and liberty and have access to our hearts. Lord, you know the need of every heart here this morning. Touch, bless, and help, I pray. Give me your spirit's mind, power, and I'll appreciate it. Thank you for it. In Christ's name I ask it. And amen. Thank you. Be seated. Keep your Bible open here as we preach about the subject now about today's offering. There are a handful of chapters in the Bible that are the key passages for certain doctrines. It's because of the content of that passage, because of the content of that chapter. Just so much in there dealing with a particular doctrine or teaching. 1 Corinthians 15 is one such chapter. It is the key passage in our Bible concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, there are other passages, many of them, that teach us about the resurrection. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, even the book of Revelation, Old Testament books like Daniel and so forth teach us about the resurrection. But this chapter has more in it, concentrated into one chapter, than any other chapter in our Bible. Paul begins the chapter talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look back with me, if you would, please, at verse number 3, 1 Corinthians 15. And verse number 3, Paul said to the church at Corinth, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." So he begins the chapter talking about the gospel. The gospel is Jesus' death. The gospel is Jesus' burial. The gospel is Jesus' resurrection. That's what the gospel is, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul continues through the chapter defending the doctrine of the resurrection. There were some people in Corinth who were in denial about the resurrection. They were in denial about Christ actually having risen from the dead. They were in denial about believers, Christians, rising from the dead someday. They were in denial about it. They've been influenced by outside sources. And I can show you that in verse number 33. Verse number 33. Look at what it said. He said, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." You know what that verse is referring to in its context? He's saying you've been taught by outside sources that there is no resurrection. That's evil communications. And because you've been taught there's no resurrection, you live like there's no resurrection. You know what that leads to? That leads to bad manners. That leads to bad character. That leads to poor ethics. You see, what we believe, folks, eventually shows up in how we live. And if you believe there's no resurrection, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Who cares what happens after this life? And that's what Paul is saying here. He said, man, you've been influenced. He said, outside sources have corrupted your thinking. It's affected your behavior. You don't believe there's any resurrection, or you're in denial about it. You got a question about it. Paul spent verses 12 through 19 explaining the disasters
I'm talking about disasters that occur if there is no resurrection. I don't have time to go verse by verse. But let me summarize it for you. Basically, Paul said, if there's no resurrection, then Christ is not risen and he is an imposter. Because he prophesied many times that he was coming out of the grave. He said, as Jonas was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will be the heart of the earth. So he said, if Jesus is still not alive, if Jesus is not resurrected, then he's a liar, he's not risen, and he's an imposter. Paul said, if there is no resurrection, talking about himself, he said, then I am a liar. I'm a false witness. Because I've preached to you and taught about the resurrection. Paul said, if there is no resurrection, our faith is vain. It's empty. Paul said, if there is no resurrection, our sins are not forgiven. Paul said, if there is no resurrection, our loved ones who were saved, we have already died, we'll never see them again if there is no resurrection. He said, if there is no resurrection, we are miserable if all we have to look forward to is this life. He said, we're miserable. Now, friend, I'll tell you, that's a lot of disastrous stuff if there is no resurrection. But then he gets to verse number 20. Look at verse number 20. And verse 20 through 34, Paul triumphantly defends the truth of the resurrection. Look at verse 20. But now is, there it is, finality, emphatically, settled, done. But now is Christ risen from the dead. It's not an issue of question or doubt. He's alive. And because he arose, he has become the first fruits of all them that slept. That means all of our loved ones who've died. Because Christ arose, they're going to arise. If you and I died before the rapture, we're going to arise. Amen. That's what he's saying here. Okay, became the first fruits of all them that have slept. Now, so he defends it. Then it says, look, it's already happened. Verses 35 through 50, Paul describes the resurrection body. Look at verse number 44. I love verse 42. Now, you got to understand, when you read these verses, Paul is not talking about the person. He's talking about the body. Look at verse number 42. It is sown. It. What is he talking about? The body. It is sown in this. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Again, he's talking about the body. It is sown in dishonor. Not the person. The body. The body's weak. The body's gets sick. The body has problems, gets cold, gets cancer. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Thank God for that. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And that's what Paul is saying here. It goes in the ground, a natural body. It comes out of the ground, a spiritual body. Like the one that Jesus Christ had. So forth and so on. Verse number 51 through 58. Paul introduces the fact that all saved people will receive a glorified body. Wait a minute. Not just those that die, but those that are alive when Jesus comes. All saved people are going to receive a glorified body. Look at verse number 50, verse number 53, verse number 51. We read it. We shall not all sleep. That means not everybody's going to die. But we shall all be changed. Everybody gets a resurrection body. Everybody gets one. Look at verse number 53 there. For this corruptible, what's that next four-letter word? Must. Amen. Put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. Dead mortal, alive mortal. If you're born again child of God, you're getting a brand new body someday. That's what he's saying here, okay? And so look at verse 54. Look at the shalls. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass. You know what Paul does? Paul taunts death. He taunts it. Look at verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave. Now look, folks. It hurts to lose loved ones to death. Brother Gardner knows that. My wife knows that. Joyce Smith's mom died this past year. Some of your folks lost loved ones. It hurts. There's a sting. But in light of the resurrection, a saved loved one is coming out of the grave. And you'll see him again. Now, you know what that does? That takes the sting out of death. That takes the stinger out. Okay? And he taunts it. And you know, and that's the truth, folks. That's not like we should be daredevils and put ourselves in harm's way. God gave you a head. Use it. That's one reason why I canceled the buses this morning. I can't put, you know, based on the knowledge we have at the time, I'm not going to put, you know, 300 kids in harm's way. That's crazy. You know, well, I don't care. I'm saved. Doesn't matter if I die. You don't talk death. That's stupid. But you don't fear it. Unless you're lost. Now, if you're lost, you've got a lot to be afraid of when you can talk about death. Because it's over. It's over. Nothing can be done about your soul's destination after death. Whatever's going to be done must be done now. If you're not a born-again child of God, guess what? I got good news. You can be. It's not for a select few, nor for the elect few. It's a whosoever will gospel. The elect are those that say, I will. Whosoever will. So if you're here this morning, and I don't know for sure if I, you know, you say, Pastor, I don't know where I'm going when I die. I don't know if it's heaven or hell. I don't know. If that's you this morning, I got good news for you. Before you walk out the building this morning, out on that skating rink out there, it's called a parking lot, you can know that you're on your way to heaven. You can know it. Through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the song we just sang, and so forth and so on. Now, I mean, here it is. Christ did rise from the dead. This is what Paul is saying. Jesus does live today. We do serve a risen Savior. Our faith is not in vain. Our sins are forgiven. We'll see our saved loved ones again, and we can look forward to eternity with God in heaven because Jesus rose from the dead. Now, this is a letter written to the Corinthians. They didn't have chapter and verse divisions. Are you with me? They didn't have chapter 15 comes to an end, chapter 16 begins. Look at Colossians chapter 4. Real quick, let me just show you a verse. Look at Colossians chapter 4 and look at verse number 16. This is how things happened, you know, in A.D. 59 and A.D. 60, A.D. 61, when this letter was written. This is what happened. Look what Paul said in Colossians 4, 16. And when this epistle, now what's he talking about, this epistle? He's talking about the book of Colossians. Are you with me? Amen. Epistle's a letter. He said, when this epistle, the book of Colossians, look at it now, is read among you. Do you see what that is? So they get a letter from the Apostle Paul. It's called the Epistle to the Colossians. So the Colossians church gets together, and the pastor of the church in Colossians stands up, and he begins to read the letter that Paul wrote. It's not just the words of a man, it's the inspired words of God. But he reads that letter this morning, paragraph by paragraph by paragraph. He doesn't say, that's the end. You hear some of this through the Bible stuff on the radio? That's the end of chapter 14. Now chapter 15. He didn't have that. So they're reading verse after verse, not even verses. They're reading paragraph after paragraph after paragraph. That's what he said. When this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans. He said, by the way, don't keep this letter with you. Send it to Laodicea. Read it over there. And that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. I wrote them a letter too. You get that one and read it in your church. Are you with me, church? So 1 Corinthians 15 now, they're reading this letter to the Corinthian church. And boy, Paul is saying, hey, folks, Christ did rise from the dead. Jesus does live today. We serve a risen Savior. He's not an imposter. And our faith is not in vain. Our sins are forgiven. We're going to see our lost loved ones again someday. And we can look forward to living with God forever in heaven because Christ arose. Can you hear the Corinthians shouting? Can you see them get excited? Can you feel the excitement? That's like you felt it this morning. Like I feel it in my soul right now. Jesus is alive. I don't have a dead faith. I have a living Savior. So they read that. And he reads, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And the Corinthian church shouts, amen. And then he reads, now concerning the collection. Well, that's what it says. There is no chapter 16, part 9, closing instructions and greetings. I don't know what yours says. So he goes right from shouting about the resurrection to let's talk about today's offering. I wonder if that sucked the wind out of that place. I wonder if that shut down everybody's shout and closed up all the amens and all the goosebumps just turned into stomach cramps. But that's exact now. He's talking about the resurrection now concerning the collection. Had to be a Baptist church. Amen. Had to be. Now concerning collection. Now, let's talk about today's offering. Amen, church. Jesus is alive. Amen. We serve a risen Savior. Now, let's talk about today's offering. From the resurrection to the offering. From praising God for the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the future resurrection of all believers to passing the plate down the pew. Now, you talk about shifting gears. You talk about sucking all the joy and excitement out of the moment for this church? Or, in reality, church, was it really that much of a shift? Was it really that much of a difference? Did the thing really have to be changed gear-wise? I mean, you see, friend, the resurrection places the exclamation point on our salvation. The resurrection is proof positive that the one who died on the cross for our forgiveness of sins was not just an ordinary man. Because if an ordinary man had died for our sins, nothing would have been accomplished. It would have been sinner trying to pay the price for sinner. Sinner can't pay the price for sinner, but sinless one can pay the price for sinner. God can pay the price for man. That's what the resurrection tells us. Was Jesus Christ indeed the Son of God? If the cross doesn't convince you, now the Roman centurion was convinced at the cross. Right? Roman centurion, he's convinced at the cross. He said, behold, this is truly the Son of God. But if the cross doesn't convince you, take a little trip over to the tomb. It's empty. And it doesn't have decomposed body parts in there, bone fragments, because the one who was in there didn't stay in there. He sat up, stood up, folded up his clothes, put the napkin off his face, folded everything up like he had just planned to stay there for a few hours, and walked out. So if the cross doesn't convince you, the empty tomb should, that Jesus is the Son of God. So what does that mean? That means God died for man. That means the sinless one paid the price for the sinner. That means that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the exclamation point on our salvation, which is the greatest gift that's ever been conceived and given to anybody. Amen. The most valuable, invaluable, priceless gift anybody could ever receive is the gift of eternal life. And you receive eternal life as a gift. You can't work for it. You can't be good enough to earn it. You have to take it by faith. Jesus paid it all. Every bit of it. We're saved. Saved from the penalty of our sin. Saved from the power of our sin. Saved from the presence of our sin. And the resurrection is the exclamation point on all of that. What better time to mention the subject of offering? Now that you're shouting and excited about your salvation and about going to heaven someday, let's talk about today's offering. That's what he said. He said, Brother Andrew, you've that's the word. That's how it's written. You can't change that. Now, concerning today's offering, what better time to talk about the subject of giving? How could any decent, logical, thinking, honorable person get upset about an offering after thinking about the resurrection? After realizing the resurrection means that Jesus is alive, means that my sins are paid for, means that I'll see my dead loved ones who were saved again, and means that I will go to heaven and live eternally with God someday. That's what it means. Sure, pass me the plate. Because my gratitude, my desire to show my gratitude can't be satisfied by just saying, thank you, Jesus, I got to do something. Pass me the plate. Now, about today's offering. That's what happened. We've got a building fund commitment. Supposed to be next week. I don't know, depending on. But it looks like the church is here this morning. Almost everybody. A few that couldn't make it. We'll probably just move ahead with it as it is. You folks, most of you were here last year. A few new folks. And we got a building that's going to be finished hopefully within the next month, if not before. And you know that we have some money budgeted in the general fund to make the mortgage payment, but we need a building fund to help meet that payment and hopefully pay ahead, as we've done the last 7 years, paid off a 20-year note in 7.5 years. How much money does that say? Many of you committed to give to the building project a year ago. It began with the calendar year, 2007, the first Sunday in January. Many of you are still giving. We had a healthy building fund offering last week of over $2,000. That's incredible. I haven't checked the numbers yet. We will this week. But I'm saying, folks, we're at an 85 or 90% clip, I think, on what was committed coming in. That's above tithe. That's above offering. That's a blessing. Above mission. So I have to preach about it, but I don't apologize. Because you say, how old is this? What we're doing this morning, it's as old as 1 Corinthians. You say, well, it wasn't for a building. It was still a special offering. Yeah. And they just got through shouting about the resurrection like we were. I wonder if they got quiet. I wonder if they went, I don't know now, this money stuff. You told me the resurrection, I can shout, but money? Now, let me give you two or three things to think about. We'll close her up and go home, and hopefully the roads are good. This was an offering, number one. This was an offering above the tithe. Look at what he said, verse 1. Now, concerning the collection for the saints. This was not tithe. This was a special offering for the poor saints in Jerusalem. This was not the tithe. Tithing is giving 10% of my increase to the Lord. I nailed that down a few weeks ago. A young man called me this week. He said, I want to share a testimony with you. He said, I had been struggling in my service to the Lord in the area of tithing. He said, I prayed and asked God, God, help me get this nailed down, please. Young man. He said, I heard two messages on tithing from another place, and then I heard your message on tithing on that Sunday night. I got 8 reasons on why should we tithe. He said, I decided, made a decision, a commitment to the Lord that night to start tithing. Regardless, I'm giving 10% of my increase to God. He said, the other day, my boss called me in, and he said, look, I want to do something for you, good worker, here's what I got in mind, doubled his pay. Told him to go to the dealership, pick out any vehicle within reason that he wanted. The company would buy it. And he gave him a gas card and said, we'll pay for all that too. Now, don't start tithing for that. No, I'm serious. You start tithing for what you think you're going to get out of it, it's the wrong motive. He made a decision to honor God by tithing. And God blessed that. God may not bless me or you in that same fashion. Maybe another way. I was blessed. So I just wanted to share that with you. This is not tithing is giving 10% to the Lord. That 10% is His. We're a robber and a thief if we do not give the Lord His tithe. But now, wait a minute. There are good causes that demand, that call on us to pray and ask God to go beyond that 10%. Missions is one. Building is another. Giving to needy people is another, which we do from time to time. And as I pointed out a couple of Wednesday nights ago, the truth of the matter is, there are a lot of people in this church really into giving to missions. But I'm going to tell you something. According to our Bible, giving above the tithe to a building started before giving above the tithe to missions started. I say that because of this. You know, you got the tithe, which is the Lord's, that's no question. Then we kind of put missions under that, and then we kind of put building fund under that. And if things get real tight, then I got to cut something out. Building fund's the first to go. Because, man, I can't cut missions. People were giving to build buildings for God's house before they were giving to missions. Well, I don't get a lot of amens on that, but that's truth. In your Bible. In the Old Testament. Now, we know giving to missions is in there, first century. But I'm just saying there are causes that call on God's people to rise above the tithe and say, Lord, what do you want me to do concerning the area of the mission fund, the building fund, whenever we have an offering for the needy? What the building fund is legitimate. It is within the parameters of biblical practice. Yes, amen, it is. It's above the tithe. You see, folks, the tithe is a pre-concluded matter. I really don't have any say-so about the tithe. It belongs to God whether I give it to Him or not. And probably if I keep it and don't give it to Him, He'll come get it. But, you know, that's a long ways off. I mean, you know, God's not ugly. I would just be concerned. Tithing is a pre-concluded matter. But giving above the tithe is a matter of my willingness to participate. It's a matter of my will being motivated to partake and participate in this offering. Let me ask you a question. What better motive to move me to give to God than the free gift of eternal life? Do we really need something more than that? Well, I've got to see the poor children with the ribs sticking out of their sides and their bloated stomachs, and that kind of thing really moves me. Do you really need that? More than just Jesus is alive, and because He's alive, I live not just for this life, but for eternity. That's not good enough to move us. That's not good enough to just make us say, bless the Lord. Evidently, Paul thought so. Evidently, God thought so. Because those aren't Paul's words. Those are his words that came through Paul. And God said, look, shout about the resurrection. Now let's talk about today's offering. While you're happy, let's talk about today's offering. While you're shouting, let's talk about today's offering. That's what he said. What better motive to move my will to give than the free gift of eternal salvation which was kept by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, you ever think why it is so many churches take a special Thanksgiving or Christmas offering? Because the time of the year just lends itself to us thinking on the goodness of God and His gift of eternal life and how good God has been to us. Okay, let's have a special. You know what? People are moved to give because their hearts and minds have been on the subject of God's goodness. And I want to tell you something. God was never any better than when He gave us eternal life. You understand what I'm saying this morning? The offering was above the tithe. Number two, the offering was given on the day they remembered the resurrection. Look at verse 2. Upon the first day of the week. Now, Brother Angel, why do we have church on Sunday? Because it's the testament of new practice, New Testament Christianity after the resurrection of Christ. The church gathered on the first day of the week. The day that Jesus rose from the dead. The first day of the week is not Saturday. The first day of the week is Sunday. Saturday is the last day of the week. Upon the first day of the week. Now, the church started getting together on the first day of the week. That's when Jesus appeared to the disciples in John chapter 20 and showed them His hands and proved Himself to be alive on the first day of the week. And they came together the next first day of the week, and Thomas was with them. They were together again. The practice of assembling on the first day of the week began in the first century. That's why we meet on Sunday. And the first day of the week is the day that Jesus rose from the dead. So that became, their gathering became a memorial to a living Savior. You with me? You got Washington, D.C., you got that Washington Monument. That big obelisk is a memorial to George Washington. You go west from the Washington Monument across the mall, and you've got the Lincoln Memorial. The big old Abraham Lincoln in that big old chair there, it's massive. Yeah, it's moving to see it. That's a memorial to Abraham Lincoln. Between the Washington Monument and the Lincoln Memorial, you've got the big mall, and you've got both ways, and you've got the World War II Memorial, the Vietnam Wall, the Korean War. All of those things are monuments. They're memorials. Right? To people who have died. We don't serve a dead Savior. We serve a risen Savior. And we come together on the first day of the week to commemorate the fact He's alive. He arose. This is the day He did it 2,000 years ago. He walked out of the grave triumphant over death, sin, and hell. Friend, He's alive. That's why we get together on Sunday. So every Sunday when they met, their meeting became a memorial to the resurrection. And Paul told them, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. That right there means when you come to the gathering to memorialize the resurrection of Jesus Christ, bring your offering with you. And lay it in store, in the storehouse, in the church treasury. That's what we did a little bit ago. What we did a little bit ago to pass those plates was biblical. And what many of you did a little bit ago was biblical. You laid by in store. The offering was given on the day they remembered the resurrection. The offering, an offering connected to the memory of the resurrection. Heaven is ours because of the resurrection. We miss the fires of hell because of the resurrection. We have fellowship with the Father because of the resurrection. In light of all that, pass me the plate. Don't leave me out. Pass me not, O gold collection plate. Please come down my pew. I'm so full of gratitude, I don't know what to do. Pass the plate. In light of all that, when that plate goes by, I should be able to give the tithe, and I should be able, if my church has a building need, and we had a building need. Plain and simple, ain't no doubt about it. It's going to be nice. I can't wait for Family Bible Hour. I can't wait. I can't wait for the school. I really think that the absence of family, of what we call Sunday school in the past, I really think the absence of that has hurt our 10 a.m. church service. I think in the past, when most everybody came to Sunday school and they sang and they fellowshipped and ate a few refreshments in the adult classes and the kids get a little refreshment and you fellowship and you sing and you hear a Bible story, you talk about Jesus, then you all dump in here at 11 o'clock, we're ready for the service. You come in 11, everybody's kind of still thinking about, oh, well, no. Takes longer to get in gear. I can't wait for it to start again. I can't wait for junior church again. I can't wait to hear those songs and all that stuff. We had a building need, a legitimate building need. I want to tell you something, folks. I believe with all my heart, we handled it about as biblically as we could. They've been doing this since Old Testament. And Paul said, when you come together to remember Jesus Christ, His resurrection, don't forget your offering. Amen. That's above the tithe. Number three, and I'm done. The special offering then is really a what? It's a thanksgiving offering. Isn't it? Special offering is really a what? It's a thanksgiving offering. Jesus, I'm so excited you're alive. I'm so excited you died for me. But you didn't just die for me. You walked out of that tomb for me. I'm so excited I'm going to go to live with you someday. And I'm so excited my saved mother I'm going to see again. My saved daughter I'm going to see again. My saved daddy I'm going to see again. My saved grandmother I'm going to see again. I'm so excited I don't have to burn in hell forever and ever and ever. I'm so excited about that. So when I come, I'm ready for the collection. And you're going to get the tithe. That's no doubt about the tithe. But you're going to get a little bit more than the tithe because our church has a building fund and our church has a missionary program. And Lord, it's okay. I could probably use this if I kept it, but it's okay. Because in light of the resurrection, pass me the plate. Now, if you read that any other way, let me know. But he's reading this letter. Therefore, my beloved brethren, because of the resurrection, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. Amen. Glory to God. Jesus is alive. Amen, church. Amen, Pastor. Now let's talk about today's offering. I guess it's not so much a shift in gear, really, as you think. Right from the resurrection to giving. Because he gave his all. I can happily give something. You need to pray about it. You need to ask the Lord, God, what would you have me to do? We need $2,000 a week. Folks, puts us in tremendous shape. $9,000 a month in the building fund giving puts us in really good shape with paying the note and paying ahead. Somebody stop me this morning. Are we having a yard mart? Absolutely. I got stuff. You got stuff? We got stuff, man. We pay ahead and we pay ahead and we pay ahead and we save thousands of dollars. It's all tied into the resurrection. Let's bow our heads in prayer together. Thank you for listening. Dear Father, I would never have planned this type weather on this Sunday. But you know what's best. God, I'm gonna by faith believe that this is what you had for us for this particular purpose and reason today. And so in Jesus' name, I ask you to bless the message about the offering. I ask you to bless our building fund commitment. Speak to hearts, I pray today in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking, please. Who is here? Brother Angel, Pastor, I am saved and I know it. I have trusted by faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I am thankful. I'm on my way to heaven, and I know that I am. I just ask you to do one thing. Please be honest. Please don't be dishonest. But if you honestly can say you know that you're saved, would you please raise your hand as a sign of it? I know I'm saved. Thank you. Take your hand down. Who's here this morning, Brother Angel? I could not lift my hand. You asked me to be honest. I was. I don't know that I'm saved. But to hear you talk about forgiveness of sins and going to heaven and missing hell, and all that God has for us. I am concerned about my eternal destiny. I don't know that I'm saved. Please pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please? Just put it up in the air, put it right back down. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Front to back, side to side, anybody like that here today? Member or visitor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. All right. Anybody here today? Brother Angel, I've been saved, but not baptized since I've been saved. Saved, but not baptized since I've been saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that? All right. Church members, God brought us here together today without bus Sunday school, without Sunbeam ministry, without primary church, without a lot of other things that would take many of us away from here. I guess God brought us here for this purpose. Please pray about this matter. Please obey God. Many of you have learned to give sacrificially. Others still struggle with it. There are some that can do much. There are some that can do just a little. I believe everybody could do something. And in light of God's great gift, in light of the resurrection, shouldn't our attitude really be, now pass me the plate. I'm anxious to give. Pastor, I'll join with you. I'll pray. I'll seek God's wisdom on this. I'll enter into this thing and ask for his help in this matter. Could I see your hand, please, this morning, if that's your heart all over the room? Pastor, I'll do that. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thus let the mind of the Lord be done. Let God's will be done. It's a matter of thanksgiving. When that plate passes, even if you don't give to the building or the missions, even if all you do is tithe, when that plate passes, drop it in with a thankful heart. In light of us goodness. Dear Father, we love you. Bless our time together in your word this morning. And we'll thank you for it.